Hello?
Your conference is being recorded.
Hello.
Morning.
Good
morning. Good morning, everyone.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hi.
I had a couple people just asking about the line. I inadvertently gave the wrong prefix to the phone number initially, so I just sent out a couple emails to some people who may be joining us as well.
Hello.
Okay. I'll give people just a minute to get on. I know we're a little after 9. But if you guys could mute your lines, that would be great too. Those people on
the
phone.
How do we mute? So just mute it, Danielle?
Yeah, I always just hit mute on my cell phone or mute on the conference line of your work line if you're at work.
Okay. Okay, I'll just hit mute then.
Okay, thanks.
Hi, is anyone there?
Yes, good morning. I know some people are just joining us there. I was sending a couple emails out about the phone number, so I apologize if people are just getting on.
Oh, that's me, Danielle.
Yes. Oh, perfect.
Does anyone know how to mute a cell phone? Because this is John, and I'm on a cell phone, and I don't know how to mute it.
Oh, it looks like a microphone with a cross off on it if you're on speakerphone, and I just hit that on mine anyway.
Let me see if I can get there.
So if you're on the keypad.
Yeah, that was what I was going to say.
If you can't figure it out, just be quiet.
There you go.
And don't shuffle papers.
All right. Well, I think we're going to go ahead and get started. And I know we have Jess and Cassie on the line from United Way, too. Cassie's our intern with us, and they're also helping to take some notes for today's call. I did record it, too, just in case that will be helpful for any of us for the future. I know with many of us being on the call this morning, it probably isn't the best environment for everyone to speak. That can be really difficult. Perhaps in moving ahead, one of the last things I wanted to talk about was perhaps Zoom meetings. That might be a good option for us, but we can get to that at the end of this morning's call. For those of you who don't know, my name is Danielle Peterson. I'm with United Way of Dubuque Area Tri-State. I've been working with many of you, I think, over the years, and specifically a lot this week. And I know we also have Nancy Van Milligan from the Community Foundation who is on this morning's call. I believe we also have a couple other people from city, county, and maybe Iowa Workforce Development on the call to be able to answer some questions. Did anybody have those specific requests? But kind of what I thought we could do this morning on the call is talk a little bit about some of those survey results that I sent out, some of the current services that are available to people. I also want to be able to talk about those nonprofits who have some immediate needs to access resources of supports or financial resources, and then maybe make a plan in moving forward. And we'll share updates to this conversation and updates for services on our website and kind of keep updating that, too, as people's programming changes here locally. And I know, I guess I just wanted to say, and I'm sure this comes from Nancy as well, during times of crisis, I really know how it can impact the entire community, and I think specifically the nonprofit world. We kind of pour our heart and souls into all the work that we do on a daily basis, and when something like this hits, it's really close to home, personally and professionally, and I know you're working hard, hopefully, to take care of yourselves, as well as the staff and the community that you serve every single day. So I guess I just want to say thank you in advance. I know this is sometimes a thankless kind of job that we do, but I really do appreciate all the additional supports and care and concerns coming from the nonprofit community specifically. Yeah, go ahead, Nancy.
We just want to say, too, again, thank you for everything you do. And as we think about coronavirus and the funding and the dollars we raise, we are going to make sure that we are not only serving the individuals that need it, but that we support you nonprofits, because this is going to be a lot of work. And we're in very stressful times anyways. You've probably got remote workers. I know some people lay off workers, so we are thinking about you and your needs too. So make sure that you share with us your situations beyond just the clients, and we plan to try to help with that.
Nancy, how do you want us to share that with you?
Okay, that's what we're gonna talk about today.
Okay, thank you.
Perfect. I'm going to give you Nancy's home number, and you guys could call and tell her how crappy your day was. That would be great. Just kidding. No, I know you guys are working so hard, though, and I think that's an important part of that. We have to have some planning for the organizations as well. First, I thought I kind of would go over some summary of the survey that people completed. We had about 50 respondents to that survey, which I think is pretty good, given the fact that I actually just sent it out, I think, on Tuesday. So that just kind of also kind of highlights the needs and the concerns that are happening here locally. So thank you guys for all of you who completed that. Of those 50 or so who completed the survey, we have about 40% of the people who have closed all or some programming, with about 30% planning to do so or developing plans to do so. And about 9% have increased their services based on community needs. So I thought that was an interesting point. Many people are prohibiting face-to-face contact trying to increase maybe online services that are available. There are concerns also regarding the highest concerns are regarding lost wages for employees and for people you're serving, as well as food issues. That was ranked high as the highest two things as being needs for the community. Four, the next one down was childcare, and then ranking three was supplies, adequate supplies for cleaning and safety measures with COVID-19, and adequate information regarding COVID-19 overall. So those are some things I think with the COVID information, we can certainly help make sure we're disseminating information to each of you for your staff and the people you serve that can succinctly kind of say, some parameters to try to, some parameters to try to educate the people that you're serving. Jeff, really quickly while I just send an email really quick to somebody who's trying to get on the line. Jeff, could you talk about the number of beds that we have available for housing, and maybe a little update on the food planning that we're aware of currently?
Yeah. I reached out to the local shelters the other day about how many beds they had open, and I heard back from a couple. I know the Hope House said that they had 4 beds open currently, and the Rescue Mission has 5 beds open currently. So if you know of anyone that is needing a bed that is a male, those two places are open. Almost Home did have to close their shelter, so that is closed for right now. So I saw that through their Facebook page, and I didn't hear anything from Opening Doors. So if Opening Doors or Mary's Inn has any information, please email that to me, and I can share that with the group just to keep everyone updated about the number of beds that are available. And then Meal Sites has been trying to keep in touch with people and also looking on social media, different things like that, websites. I know the Dubuque Food Pantry is starting on the 23rd, providing meals for kids, handing them out at Operation Newview between 10:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. Monday through Friday, and they plan to do that until Easter. And then if it's needed after Easter, then they'll come together and talk about that so that way they can still provide meals. The Boys and Girls Club is doing their grab-and-go meals from 4:15 to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. And we will send these out, so don't feel like you need to, like, write ferociously all this information down. The Dubuque Area Labor Harvest was having a board meeting this morning to discuss what they would be doing going forward, and I will touch base with Tom Townsend and update everyone on that. The Dubuque Rescue Mission is doing all their meals to go. The Salvation Army has their food pantry open 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday, and they're taking precautions to make sure that there's social distancing. And then Dubuque Community School District has shared the local meal resources, which I will share with everyone with the minutes with this, but they have listed the locations where the grab-and-go meals will be. And if anyone has any additional information on meals, I know Resources Unite is going to be doing some food pantries out in the rural Dubuque community, and we also have some other food pantries that are out in that area, so we'll make sure to share that information as well. But always feel free to send me any updated information. I'm working on an Excel sheet for 211 to make sure they have as updated information as possible, so when people do call and need resources, they're giving them the correct information.
Hey, Jess, this is Tom Townsend at the Labor Harvest. We are going to continue to do our breakfast, but we're doing takeout only starting Saturday. And then for our food giveaway, we're still trying to figure out the logistics, but it's probably going to be some form of, like, curbside thing. We're probably not allowing people in the building.
Thank you, Tom.
And this is Whitney Sanger with Project Rooted. We're doing lunches down at Convivium. Resources Unite is also going to have 100 per day. And then we're looking at an additional location out in West Dubuque School District. There's an area out in Epworth and Farley that's not covered. And then if there's any other organizations that need meals, we're happy to provide those, and we can have those dropped off, and you can distribute at your place of business if you see a need.
Thank you, Whitney.
I also saw that Carol from Opening Doors said that they're full right now, too. She said just sent that in, Jess. They're, I think they've reduced beds just for social distancing there, too.
Neil, I know that there were quite a few people at the meeting with the school district, and we're presently serving. We are serving Terrace Heights Mobile Home Park and the club, and then Monday, I think, is when basically everybody from the school that has partnered with the school district is starting up. And we have Comiskey, Audubon, Marshall, Lincoln, and Hoover schools as well. But I know that there are other partners in that group as well that are going to start serving those sites on Monday, I believe.
Brian, could you send that to me? This is Jeff.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, yeah, can you send me that information, please?
Absolutely. Certainly can, because that will give you the times for us as well, and then you can get the others. I think they were going to post that. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they were going to send that in a letter or an email to all the parents of the students in the Dubuque Community School District, but that may have gone out by mail, actually.
They did send that out
okay.
via email. Us as parents
okay.
all received, it was a link to all the different resources, and I believe it's on the Dubuque Community School District website as well.
Okay.
Great. Thank you. A couple other things I want to share here real quickly about the survey. The question we asked, how can we help, and this ironic that we're talking about the food service available through a number of providers here locally, and I think this is a great way that we can keep that communication flowing and make sure that we're covering parts of the community that maybe hadn't been covered
kind of using our resources to best hit those areas that are not being accessed currently. For the biggest kind of concern and feedback I got from that question about how can we help support you and your services is to kind of streamline information so that people can not have a need to duplicate services, having some shared resource listing, a listing of what's operating and at what capacity, those types of things. There were some other concerns about or questions about primary points of contact for each of those services, access to a website for what's current in terms of programming. And then also there was a question I think Francie's on about mobile crisis. Francie, do you mind if you're on sharing a little bit about mobile crisis and how you're helping serve people in that capacity right now?
Yep, so mobile crisis outreach is still operational. So if just the kind of quick version if people aren't familiar with that. So that's a 24/7 service that's available. Individuals can call into the line and that will be triaged whether, things can be handled over the phone. Our staff are still going out. We are screening when we go out. Again, this is fluid. We are still accepting clients into our crisis residential beds at this time. So given that we expect brain health services, the need for those services, I think I'm preaching to the choir, even increased during these times. We're doing what we can to keep those services available, so mobile crisis is still operational.
Thanks, Francie. Could you remind people of the phone number for mobile crisis that they don't currently have?
I didn't ask. I will get that and try and back
it. Yeah, okay. That's no worries. Otherwise, we'll have it in our notes, too, but thank you. Yeah, people haven't used that. That's a great resource to use, especially during times right now when I think many of our face-to-face mental health services, brain health services, have really reduced that opportunity.
Yep, and I also want to chime in, and there might be some of our other mental health, brain health providers on the phone. So we're looking to go to some additional telephonic and telehealth options. So I think part of the and I'm sorry if I'm getting ahead of the agenda, but we want to make sure that clients aren't getting the message from the media to stop non-essential health services, and then they think that brain health services are non-essential. So I want to try to get that message out. Keep your therapy appointments. Keep your med appointments. We're still doing face-to-face at this time, and then we're doing the telephonic telehealth as well. I think that's a big message that needs to get out.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Maybe we can try to do outreach specifically to the providers we know in the community who are offering that, just to make sure that that is what they're doing as well, because I do think some of the other providers have been doing maybe doing things a little bit differently, but that's great to know that HealthCrest and the providers there are still willing to do that.
I just wanted to jump in. This is Stacey from Catholic Charities. Our counselors are also doing the same telehealth or even just via phone call. So thanks for sharing that message. And I do think it's important that people continue to seek out that support.
Stacey, do you have
thank
a particular
you,
technology? Francie.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Are you using a particular technology?
Well, maybe that we can touch base offline and kind of coordinate a little bit more.
Okay, that'd be great.
Okay. Thank you. Let's see. We have a couple more points on that survey I wanted to share. These were, besides some of the other things I've talked about, were accurate information to share. Masks and other supplies for cleaning that would need to be available for staff and or potentially some of our community members. We had about half of the people said yes, a weekly call would be good, and about a quarter of you said maybe. And then finally, the last question, kind of was what else did we miss? People are looking
here locally for perhaps a voice recording of today's call or other opportunities to share information with different populations, such as your board of directors, such as the people that you serve, those types of things. So if we could do some shared practices around that and send some flyers or tidbits of information about that, we will be happy to do so. Looking for best practices and what people are doing, what we can do together, perhaps even, you know, say, for example, we know this area is covered with food, but this one isn't. Let's talk to one another and see who would best be serving that area. Organizations are looking at how to best handle layoffs or people working from home, specifically in non-exempt positions. What we've talked about through there, we have reached out to Iowa Workforce Development, and I know there were some changes that happened statewide about unemployment. So I think the people being sent home from work will have eligibility for unemployment should they have met those initial criteria. And I'm not sure we'll provide a website for Iowa Works so you can have access to that information. Yeah, go ahead.
This is Nancy. It's my understanding that the unemployment will not be charged to the employer.
That might be people might be breathing a sigh of relief about that, because I know that there's lots of other financial hardships happening now with business operations being halted.
Yeah, I think that's important.
Iowa Workforce Development has a specific site that has really good Q&A information on this. If you go to iowaworkforcedevelopment.gov and click on the COVID-19 page, there are frequently asked questions for employers and employees.
Okay,
in different
perfect.
Scenarios and what qualifies. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I don't know if that's Amy or who's on from Iowa Works. Thank you.
Excuse me, this is Dawn, not from Iowa Works, but there is a webinar today on that exact thing at noon. So if you go to that website that was just offered, I don't know if you can still register. They had 500 spots available for the webinar, but they're also going to record it. And it's talking about that on the waiving of the unemployment for employers.
Okay, thank you very much for that, Dawn.
Daniil, this is Stacey Killian from over at VNA. So I just kind of wanted to add, our agency is working with both the city and county for residents that have questions about COVID. They are to call our office, and we can kind of have our nurses work through them. And Kimberly Gonzalez is our child care nurse consultant, and she is acting as the county liaison for the child care centers. So if there's questions from them, she's trying to make contact with all of them and set up a weekly call to where they can call in with some of their questions and concerns, and we can work through those as well.
That's great. Thank you. And I'm glad you mentioned that, Stacey. And I do know that people had mentioned that if you're having a question regarding child care, whether you're the staff there or the child care center or people trying to access child care, is that correct?
Yes, they can contact Kim here at the VNA, and she will do her best to get through all the calls. I know our call volumes are increasing every day, but we are doing our best to field them. But Kim would be your contact.
Great. And, again, we can include that information in our summary, too. Thank you. The next thing I kind of wanted to talk about was we've talked about our needs and our things that we're struggling with. Kind of the what next? What are we doing to help support other than having this call and hearing what everybody is doing to coordinate that? So one of the things that we have developed about 3 years ago in our community is called the COAD. For those of you who aren't familiar with COAD, that acronym stands for Community Organizations Active in Disaster. And I know many of you who are on today's call are a part of that COAD. We have people from United Way of Tewksbury Tri-State and the Community Foundation who co-chair that committee, but there are also nine committees that fall under that COAD that we have been working with to kind of create some parameters and policies, systems and infrastructure basically to operate that.
One of the things with our co-ed that we were excited we were able to have the opportunity to do is reenact that or re-engage that group in light of this type of disaster, which is something that's not a typical type. Usually it's weather-related. So in kind of reenacting or re-engaging our co-ed group, we talked about what are our most critical needs for our community, nonprofit community, and community members. So that co-ed group has worked to create a COVID or a disaster relief fund. We've done this in the past, and we're doing this again now. And so what that group, that disaster relief fund, has done is we've sought some funding from outside places, as well as we'll open it up to funding externally if people are interested in making a donation to that fund. You know, the Community Foundation of Greater Dubuque will be the one who will manage those funds in terms of being the fiscal agent. We have a long-term recovery committee that looks at processing needs that come in and applications that come in to direct funding wherever it might be necessary. Our goal really with that program, though, is to make sure we're accessing our current available resources first, and then using our disaster relief fund kind of as a stopgap point. So, for example, if we have food available, maybe we don't use it for that. But we know many of you need additional funding for additional food and case management that you're providing. So we will make those funds available to community members who are doing that kind of direct service around disaster relief. We'll have an application that will be put on site for those of you who are interested in that. But first and foremost, our plan is within the next couple of days to make sure we get some funding out to those of you who are kind of key players in the community who are already providing those services to people so that you have access to dollars immediately to help support your staff, support the supplies you might need, and those types of things. And if you're not involved with our co-ed and are interested in being involved, please let us know. We can make sure we include you in that moving forward. But there will be a donation page. We'll probably have links on our United Way webpage too, but it will link to donate or to access the grant application right through the Community Foundation. When I mentioned some immediate kind of needs within the next couple of days for some primary players, what our intent there is to ask some key players in the community just a few questions so we can make sure that they're able to use the funds immediately, and then we can cut those checks to those places so that they can have those opportunities here locally. And then that should help get some more resources into the community where we need it the most. Nancy, is there anything else there regarding the co-ed that you want to share or about the application?
Well, we are working on the application that we have that we typically use for disaster recovery is obviously for more natural disasters, tornadoes, floods, so we're adapting that. I guess this would be a good time to share that we do plan to make some initial grants out to organizations that we know that are doing this work, and you will be receiving an email. If you're doing boots-on-the-ground disaster recovery work right now and you don't get the email, feel free to let us know that you think you are and tell us why. Since Monday, we started fundraising. On Monday, we have $350,000 in hand. We should have $500,000 by Friday, and we will continue to aggressively raise funds for this. There is some value in a community to have one place where people give to for disaster recovery. It provides coordination. In the past, there was a lot of confusion of where to give and who was accountable. So we will try our very best to make this fund as robust as we can. We think the application will be for the funds after the initial grants that go out will be available by, is it Thursday today? By tomorrow at the latest. And we may adapt it as we go on, just FYI. Did I miss anything, Danielle?
No, I think that's good. We just, again, I think the intent is to do what we can to initially get some funds out, and then moving forward have open that up a little bit.
Hi, this is Whitney with Project Rooted. Just quick question with that. Do you have to be a 501c3? We're currently pending, so I just wanted to know on that.
We can talk offline, Whitney.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
And good morning. I just got in. This is Rick, the Dubuque Rescue Mission. I just punched in, so sorry for the delay.
No problem, Rick. I did share too. We'll be sharing information about this on our webpage too afterwards, so you can make sure you can get all access to the information too. Hopefully, you got on in time to hear a little bit about accessing funds for immediate needs.
Yeah.
Again, otherwise we could talk afterwards too. So good. Thank you. Besides that, we're going to be sharing some resources, again, from Iowa Workforce Development, I mentioned, including that webinar today that Dawn mentioned. We'll also share the CDC website and the IDPH website for updated COVID-19 information. Lastly, I don't know if Kelly from the city is on right now, but they are creating as Stacy mentioned, they have a point person for childcare, and they're creating lots of information accessible on their website as well. They're meeting daily. I also know we've spoken with several county staff as it relates to services and supports outside Dubuque proper. So we can continue to keep people updated there. The last thing we really wanted to do was just offer the opportunity for a meeting next week, perhaps at the same time. Thursday at 9, if that works, and then offer you the opportunity to ask any questions you might have.
Danielle, this is Kelly from the city.
Thank you, Kelly.
Yeah, and we are getting a lot of information, and my biggest concern is not overloading people's emails. So could you tell me who would be the point person at either the foundation or the United Way that would get the information that we send out?
Nancy, are you comfortable with that being us with our site, or what would you rather?
Well, I think we both need to. Let's say your site is the key site, but we will have more of the information about funding and applications and stuff at times.
Yep.
So can we say at this point that the United Way is key and that we will continue to share information about how to communicate as we move along? We haven't quite, believe it or not, figured out exactly how this is going to flow. So,
okay.
But we want to make sure we're communicating effectively. So let's make United Way key.
Other questions? Yeah, this is Kelly again. I had a question that came up here about food sites. Someone asked if we're aware if any of the food sites are going to have delivery, and I think they're thinking ahead to people who might be quarantined. And whether we need some kind of volunteer effort.
Well, certainly we can add that to the list if we know it. And if we needed to enact, some of our volunteers through our United Way's Get Connected portal for delivery, I'm sure we could put a call out for people to do that.
Okay. So I'll try and see what I can find out from public health on what they might be able to give us in terms of needs as things kind of ramp up.
So this is Rick Mimmitt, the Dubuque Rescue Commission. So currently we have all of our to-go containers for people to take out with them, the men that live at the mission. So if any of these individuals who might be bound to home had a friend or a neighbor, or if we could coordinate the volunteers, and if we would know that, we would have to-go meals for all those folks. And we're doing breakfast, lunch, and supper, except for the three where the churches on Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday nights are doing it. if they continue to do that. So we could ramp that up a little bit regarding if they had someone that they could send over just to pick up a meal and get it to them. That would be great. We're a little bit limited on resources regarding, we barely have a workable van that could get things out, and my staff is just sorting, so. But we do have the food.
And then this is Whitney with Project Rooted. We do have the volunteers if we know in advance where those need to go. So that's something that we can do as well. Our lunches are just to kids, though, so something to note as well. But we're happy to deliver if need be.
Yeah, and our meals would be hot meals. So they're cooked in our kitchen, and then they would be to go.
Hi, this is Dawn. I have a couple of questions. Go ahead.
This is Francie. My question is, do any of the organizations, are you securing legal assistance to help you sort through the family's first bill and how that applies to nonprofits? We've done an initial consultation and have some concerns about whether those provisions, if the president signs it in terms of tax credits and such, are going to really be able to be rolled out to nonprofits.
So did you say you have been talking to an attorney about this?
We consulted initially, and if other organizations are doing that, also it costs money to consult with legal. Their first comeback, and I wasn't on the call, but what I'm told from our HR is that our attorney said that they did not believe that we were going to be able to reap the benefits from some of those tax credits as a nonprofit. As I looked at the bill last night, it appears to me to be more closely related to the employer portion of Social Security, but again, in an effort not to duplicate expenses across legal, if we could figure out a way to get one resource here so we're not all spending money to kind of help us navigate through that. The expenses to us as employers, there's a lot riding on it. I mean, we need to stay afloat, too, to be able to provide these services.
So this is Nancy at the Community Foundation. We'll be happy to take that on, and that's a really good thought that, you know, we don't want individual nonprofits doing work that we should be doing as a sector. So I think between the Community Foundation, United Way, we've got Greater Dubuque Development Corporation on the phone, the city on the phone, those of us who serve the entire community can take on those bigger questions and bigger issues, especially the legal ones, and get back to you. And I'll
thank
this one
much.
We'll agree to take on. And people should be letting us know if there's other things like that that come up.
Thank you, Nancy.
That's a great point. Lisa, we do have a CEO call for Iowa, United Ways of Iowa, tomorrow, too, so that may or may not be on the agenda. I can make sure I stay in touch about it.
Yeah, and that's probably good for all of you to know. The Community Foundations and United Ways across the state are working together to do this disaster recovery, and we have wonderful resources from our statewide group that we're tapping into. So we will try to keep you as informed as we can and make sure that we serve you well.
And I would just say on the government side, we have Terry Goodman is heavily involved in watching all of the legislation and feeding our recommendations forward. So if there are things like this that we can try to get addressed legislatively, if maybe there is a gap with nonprofits and she can try to do some information sharing there, we'll pass that along too. I'll keep us informed.
Thanks, Kelly.
I think
Dawn
had a question
with the
go ahead.
It's Cindy with the Salvation Army. This is more of a local question here, and I know as we started out the conversation here on beds for the homeless, and it seems like we have no homeless beds for women. Does anybody else have any ideas of where to direct those folks to?
Say that again,
I know,
Cindy.
Sounds like there's not any ideas out there. Okay.
Cindy, can you repeat the question, please?
Yes, sir. I know we have no homeless beds for women right now in Dubuque. It seems like we are filled at that point. And I am just wondering if anyone has any ideas of where to direct those folks. I mean, you know, I know a lot of us could maybe give some funding for the short term, but for a longer term, where they would be directing those folks.
Thank you.
So for, I don't know what Rich office is. This is Rick Mim from the Rescue Mission. But they just ended yesterday the housing of additional mission men. They have 12 beds there at St. John's Lutheran Church. But maybe if they had some funding, because they depend on volunteers to stay overnight, but maybe if they could pay some people, they could convert that situation to beds for 12 women. That's just a thought.
I also know, too, in relation to this, that ECI serves as our the access point for Dubuque County in terms of their homeless hotline. So we'll make sure that we include that phone number also on our resource list that we share back. But that number is accessible to people when in homeless situations, so we're able to prioritize and help meet those needs. They're very in touch about the daily openings that we have available and can often direct people to resources that may be available in the interim. I did want to share one resource. And go ahead, Rick.
Just as a follow-up again, why don't I reach out to Gwen Kirchhoff and Jay Hilton and see if that's even in the realm of possibilities, and I can send an email back to folks about that.
Okay, thank you. I think Dawn had a question. Dawn Coogan, are you still on?
I am. Just a question and a few comments. When we're talking about food, I think, you know, obviously that's the first thing everyone thinks of is like a major need, and it is, and there's a lot of people working together. I love all the coordination that's happening. I'm curious if there are conversations around staples being included with that, whether it's toilet paper, even like you think about wipes and diapers, some of the things that maybe families can't get with even an EBT card. So just curious if that's being talked about. And then I think it's awesome also that we're really thinking about the mental health right now, like that people need those services now. I also assume and have confidence that we're thinking about the mental health fallout from all of this isolation and what's going to happen. And so I think everything, some things that we do don't have to cost money, right? Like being engaged and connected still to the families that we serve in some other way than, obviously there's a lot of financial needs and a lot of food and things like that, but I assume everyone's thinking about it, but just ways to stay engaged and connected and help people to continue to feel connected. And I think that's part of the importance even of this call for all of us who are separated from our staff and separated from one another to just have that sense of still being connected and being together. And then I don't know if this falls in line with the families first, but there was an email that came out from the Chamber for Small Businesses.
Actually, I was on
my own
yesterday, too, and that's what it said, but yeah.
Yeah.
Just wait, could you remember the line, your lines if you're not talking?
I'll just assume that someone's not muted. There's an email that the Chamber sent out. Usually it would be me doing that. So it's an email that the Chamber sent out for small businesses, and it's a little bit awkward to fill it out as a nonprofit because it asks about owners, but I just made a note that we actually don't have an owner, but I still filled it out just so that Iowa has the information that they need to go to the higher-up governments to get legislation and funding and really know the true picture of what's happening in Iowa. So if you haven't filled that out, I think that would be a great option. And then my final thing is really I do really feel like there's a lot in our community that will come around our families. I'm very concerned about our part-time site staff who now don't have a job to go to, and I'm sure that's true for a lot of, you know, nonprofits. And so the funding that's available, you know, you guys said it wouldn't just, it would go to help beyond the client. And so I assume on the link at the foundation's page that maybe there's some more information about asking for help for our employees.
I'm sorry.
Now I'm done. Thank you.
Actually, I don't have a website. I'll send them to you.
Thanks, Don. Those are great points. And if anyone's listening, could you mute your line, please? And I hope everyone's listening, but who knows? But I just want to comment a few things back. Don, yes, I think diapers, toilet paper, those kinds of things are very much in alignment with what some of the needs locally here will be. I echo your points about brain health issues and mental health, how we're doing mentally, especially in isolation, both the short and the long term. And I know that Nancy feels the same as well. Especially we talked about even college students too. They're feeling college students and K-12, they're feeling a little, of course, anxious during this time. And then plus also uprooted in a different environment, not their typical routine. You mentioned the website or the link for small business. I think that's a great point. We can send that link from the chamber too. We've talked about also sending that out to our board of directors who serve in many, you know, many serve in capacities of different jobs so that we could share that there, getting people to respond and give that information to the state. And I'm trying to think of the last thing that you asked or mentioned. I think there was four. Well, I can't remember it. I apologize. But I appreciate the comments and things there that you've kind of brought to light. Oh, yes, the website.
I was asking for help for our employees. Who knows where to land, but we're going to have our own vulnerable populations on top of everyone else we're already serving.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, that's a very, very real and good point. I know we talked about oftentimes grants are not available for staff costs. And you're able to access grants for supplies, but maybe not necessarily that. So we talked about putting a cap on that, but putting a dollar amount that would be allowed to be used administratively, or a percent, I should say, administratively. So if you have staffing needs, those kinds of things, you could access some of the funding for that. Again, go ahead.
I should probably let you finish what you were saying. But I did want to respond to the first point. Internally, we certainly are having a discussion on those types of supplies that you mentioned, toilet paper, diaper, all of those things. I think what we're running into is the same problem that everybody else is, and that is the supply issue. And my fear is, even when we find supplies, if we get those from our local suppliers, are we taking those from the general population and therefore creating the shortage that we're helping to prevent? And so, of course, any ideas that people have on that or any suppliers or any way of getting that, we do have some supplies right now, but looking weeks later, particularly some of the items we haven't normally provided. Any ideas are certainly greatly appreciated as we think through how do we supply these things. Obviously things people need, and thinking through how do we best do that in a way that we're not also hurting our local economy or shorting other people as well.
So I guess my only reaction to that would be is don't purchase more than what you can distribute at any given time. So normally we would, you know, stockpile, but at this point in time, you've got a very good point. We could be causing a problem. But since we are funding supplies for our most vulnerable populations, I don't think we should feel bad about buying what is actually needed. Don't you agree?
Right, and I agree with that. I think the other problem of that is just finding the general purchasing for those supplies. I think some of those things we're having trouble finding suppliers for ourselves.
Right, it's a problem.
Yeah, those are all good points, and I would normally say buy local, but even if we, you know, to not take away from our local community, if they could be purchased online, and again, I completely agree with, you know, not more than we need. I'm thinking about that is actually what we have families calling for, because people are hoarding and they can't get toilet paper. You know, they can get a meal, but they can't get toilet paper.
That's really the point. I was just thinking, too, maybe we could pair that up if we can get some resources that way. Maybe we could pair that up with some of the food distribution sites, too, to, you know, take care of two things.
Yeah, if anyone has a regional or national supplier that is delivering and has contacts like that, I think we would be willing to make some purchases in that regard in order to get that material out. But we've got to find those suppliers, and that's some of our maybe regular sources, just we don't have those. So certainly if people have those contacts and they're willing to share them, please pass them along.
It's funny, I got a text from Jeff just when I was going to say something. I was just going to say we may have some contacts, but we'll do some outreach first before we throw that out there.
Bless you, honey.
So thank
and
you.
Just another this is Rick Mim at the Mission again. Just another different kind of paper. So they do have distributors have a lot of the little paper napkins that we find in restaurants and the old-fashioned napkin dispensers, the smaller little white napkins. Individually, you give out 10 or 20 of those with anything we're doing. They work really well, and they're very, very cheap, and there's an abundance of them in lieu of toilet paper.
Thank you, Rick.
We could also, Kathy, I'm just saying, we could also maybe teach or show people how they can make their own toilet paper. Another point, I know that stores are starting to limit the amount of supplies that you can buy. And another point, my neighbors are actually buying supplies from Amish communities, and they seem to be still stocked. So I don't know if that's something that we can get out.
If you could send those contacts, how the best contact them, I think that's a great idea.
Okay. I can do that.
This is going to go into
insane. People may be going back to cloth diapers. Wouldn't that be?
Well, that would add to my post-traumatic stress I may be having.
Oh, boy.
Are there any other questions that people have that are on the line? Kathy, Rick, if you want to send those, if you have thoughts, maybe we could, you know, we'd be happy to do some outreach, too, if there's things that we could do with larger scale versus 40 of us calling a specific place, for example, and we could continue to provide that updated information out there for you. But are there other questions that we have not covered today?
Hello, this is Carolyn O'Connor with the city, and I will send this information to be included in today's meeting minutes, but we are currently accepting applications for neighborhood grants, which has a maximum of $3,000. It's for projects in the city that have to serve low and moderate income persons, but I'll send that information with the link to the application to be included in the minutes.
That's great. Thank you. Hey, Geraldine, do you have to be a 501c3
yes.
to apply for funding
no,
for that,
not.
Those neighborhoods?
No, you have to be a nonprofit, but not a 501c3 is not required.
Okay, thank you. That's a great resource. I wanted to do two quick things. One is I know Stacey Killian said the VNA is taking calls from the public if they have questions. We're also, as a state, using our 211 line, too, so I want to make sure people have access to that. Obviously, you can call 211, or the other number is 1-800-244-7431, and we'll put that in the notes. Or people during the hours of 8 to 4, people could text their zip codes to 898-211, or there's a free app, too, and that is where people can go for local resources.
and that's what Jeff was mentioning. We're doing daily updates to our 211 services to make sure they're aware of what our community resources that we have available are. So please remember to use that. Again, more information will come. And so there was, just as a heads up, and I did let some of the Quad Cities know, but there was a little bit of misreporting in the paper today, just to make sure people know. But the number to call or the donations to make for the COVID-19 Disaster Relief Fund, we'll provide updated information there too. And I did let the Quad Cities know. Their United Way was reported as being the one who's helping in that. So I let them know, give them a heads up, and hopefully we'll have some clear information out there for the public too.
And they also gave the wrong email address for the Community Foundation to access the fund, and that's dbqfoundation.org/DRF, so Disaster Recovery Fund. So, and we are working with the TH to get correct information out there. Thank you.
Well, we kept it running an hour, you guys. Yeah, thank you guys all for being a part of the call, for sharing the resources. Jeff Bliley is the best way to send information if you want to our organization, if you have access to her email or mine, and we can make sure we coordinate. But Jessica Bliley is our Director of Community Building. Any of the updates that you have today, that if you haven't sent them in to us already, please feel free to do so at either my email or Jess's email. Jessica's email is jessica.bliley, B-L-E-I-L-E, at dbqunitedway.org. And I think that's on the website perhaps too. So thank you guys all again. I appreciate you being on the phone today.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.